PacificBeerChat.com.
A few weeks ago, Chelsea of Beautiful British Columbia and I, Mike's Craft Beer, headed out to the Kootenays to check out their beer scene. On this episode, we checked out Roslyn Beer Company in the small town of Roslyn, BC. We talked about the brewery's history, where they're going, and where they might be in the future. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we hope you keep coming back to listen to more.
We're here at Roslyn Beer Company in the Kootenays. Why don't you both introduce yourself?
My name's Ryan, and I brew the beer here, and yeah.
My name is Petri. I'm the other half. I do most of the business and day-to-day operations.
Perfect. This brewery started off its life in a different city, in Trail, Trail Brewing. I don't know much about this brewery at all. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. We were in a town of 3,750 people. It's a very specific, unique ski bike town. We're different than most towns because of our location. So Roslyn is 4 hours from Kelowna, 2.5 hours from Cranbrook, 2 hours from Cranbrook, a couple hours from Spokane, 6-7 hours from Calgary, 8 hours from Vancouver. You get the idea.
Yeah, sure.
We're kind of in the middle of nowhere, but we're all about the beer, right? So what we've done is we're really proud of the fact that we've introduced a lot of people to different types of beer.
Sure.
And just beer that isn't made by the masses. And this is only, we're now in just over our third year anniversary in this location.
Yeah.
5 years as a business, because we started down on Trail.
Yeah.
But when we started down on Trail, it was more of a test pilot, kind of a litmus to see where we were at.
Yeah, for sure.
Trail's a different market. Roslyn's more of a tourist town. But that being said, you couldn't have one without the other. So we really appreciate Trail, especially where we started. And it was an all grain U brew.
Okay.
So it wasn't the same format as a brewery,
yeah,
or a brew pub kind of thing where you could have a beer. And we learned right away that whatever worked for us, we took a lot of personal market surveys and questionnaires and what people liked and what they didn't like. But the best thing about it was just knowing that people were into the beer.
Yeah, for sure.
So we had somewhere to start. And us living in Roslyn, we were literally like, okay, how can we move up? Literally up the hill.
Yeah, for sure.
We wanted to be able to walk to work, and it's part of the dream, and now we're here. Yeah.
Awesome. So I can't remember, when did you actually open your doors here at this location at Roslyn Beer Company?
Yeah, it was June 13th. In
3 years ago.
So yeah, three years ago.
I think you were here like in week one or two.
Yeah,
like
it was pretty early on. Fresh. Just happened to be in town. Yeah.
No deck. We had no deck at that time.
No, yeah, no deck.
There's one beer.
No lounge.
There's one. Yeah.
No, you had one beer the first day, and I came back a couple days later because you had three on tap.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, like it was three zap. Yeah.
Yeah. So the beer that goes quick. But yeah, it was basically we just had our third year anniversary here. But 5 years as a company because of Trail Brewing.
Yeah. That's awesome. We know you guys are involved with the brewery, but how many staff do you have? What's the team like?
Yeah, the team honestly is so great. We're just really, really lucky. We have so many people with a lot of experience, and then so many people that are either new and enthusiastic about beer that it kind of completes the team. We have a CPA now on board.
Nice.
Who is new within the last 5 months. Kind of a game changer, really.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of stress off me, just knowing that I'm not totally screwing it up. See, I almost said fucking it up. But I did, yeah. So our team now is about six staff. So we have three of us that are full-time. That will be bumped up, another full-time person. One of the part-time people will go full-time in the fall.
Awesome.
That's kind of the plan. And then we have two or three part-time, and Travis is working with us, who worked at, he was brewing at Driftwood.
Oh, nice.
And he's a local boy in Roslyn. And then there's another gentleman, Brad, who is a Red Seal chef, who has worked at a couple other breweries back in the day.
Yeah.
I think Phillips is
one of them. Wineries as well.
Yeah, and wineries. He's a big wine guy. So he has a lot of hands-on experience with all that stuff. And then we have a couple of really like our not quite a manager, but on her way to be a manager at the as a tap room.
Yeah,
she's great. Just the welcome and the willingness to learn about beer and being enthusiastic about it. Jesse is top notch for sure.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's important to have a good team, especially when you're not in say Vancouver or Okanagan. There's a lot more people. If you don't have a good team, people aren't going to come.
And there's no way you can run any business without a good team, because you know we stress enough about a business. It's like our baby, and knowing that there's someone there to you know keep the day-to-day stuff going and make sure everyone's happy is
exactly.
A huge weight off our shoulders, and we're really proud that they're here to help us. And
yeah,
it's one big family, so it's awesome. It's really good.
It's important, and it's hard to find a family, right, when you're putting together a business.
For sure.
For sure.
We get that question quite a bit, like, because we've been somewhat successful, and we're proud of it. And one of the questions is, what are you most proud of? And honestly, it's our staff, and knowing that they're happy with coming to work. And like just being stoked at being here and feeling like they're supported.
For sure, yeah.
That's kind of our, we don't really have officially mission statement, you know, or what our company kind of is defined by. But the two things that we've always gunned for are being a bigger part of the community.
For sure, yeah.
However you picture that in your mind, there's so many ways of being a bigger part of the community.
Yeah, there are, yeah.
And having staff that is just awesome. I mean, like, how cool is it to sign someone's check and be like that makes you feel really good, you know?
I wouldn't know. Well, I would love to, though.
But something that you created, right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
Like, you know, and it's sort of like beer, you know, you create beer and you tried something that you liked and you try to make it even better. And now we've worked at other places that we didn't like our jobs. And that's kind of how all this created, years back.
I think we all have.
Yeah. So it's just like a creation of a beer, right? Where now we're trying to create something that is even better than that beer.
Yeah, for sure.
And now we're trying to create a work environment for someone, something that is better for that person.
Well, then happy people, happy beer, right?
Exactly. Like, exactly. That's a good t-shirt.
Yeah.
I was thinking happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Happy staff, happy beer.
That's it.
Yeah, I got to try to do that for that though. So. So you guys said that you know, you want to be a bigger part of the community. Like, what was the community support like guys opened up your doors in
Rosslyn?
Were they happy? Were they excited? Was it slow to catch on?
Yeah, honestly, the support that we've had and we continuously have can't be matched. Like that's one thing that we're so proud of, is that the people are so supportive. And we like to think it's maybe because of who we are and how we involve people and what we try to do as being part of the community. But honestly, it just comes down to people being alike in the town of Rosslyn. So we all have something in common. We like being outside.
Yeah.
We like, we appreciate the environment. We appreciate natural ingredients and things that are, you know, not necessarily organic. And there's not words that totally pigeon the statement. It's just more of who we are as people.
Yeah.
And it sounds cliche and it sounds kind of like this big BS sesh, but what it is we have some of the most awesome people here that range from the top end management of companies, doctors, to ski bums who are appreciated the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is kind of something that you don't see anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We literally don't give a flying you-banani of what you do. If you come in here and you're nice and you appreciate our beer,
You're allowed to swear. Mike said we could swear.
All right. We honestly don't.
I like fake swear words too, though.
Yeah. We could care less, though, right?
Yeah.
And so, and I've traveled around the world a bit, and it's my favorite thing about Rosslyn, is that people don't care what you do. Like, they don't care where you're from or what you do. They just want to know if you're a nice guy and if you're supporting the local causes. And you know, you don't have to be this adamant, crazy dude.
Yeah, for sure.
That's not at all us either. It's laid back. But yet, you know that people have your back.
Mm-hmm.
So, long answer and a short answer is that we just have this town that I honestly think that is like nowhere else. So, that was one of the reasons why we named it Rosslyn Beer Company.
Yeah.
Well, it actually seems like, just I haven't been here that much, but it seems like a fairly young, small town. Most small towns are really old. You know, it's an older population, there's usually not a lot of work, but it seems to be a lot of young people here.
Yeah, it's a mix, right? There's a lot of people, a lot of transients that come for the biking and come for the skiing. And But yeah, there's lots of young people and everyone's super active and, you know, so.
It's gotta be good for this business, actually.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Super great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's tons of kids now, like next generation. It's a good balance.
One of my favorite things is the Budweiser guys that, you know, been drinking Budweiser for 40 years and they came in and they started with the blonde ales and the pale ales. And,
yeah.
And now all they want is IPAs. Like, you don't have any IPA? Like, okay, no, I'll pass. Sorry, yeah, I'll pass.
Exactly. It's always funny though because when they first get into an IPA, it's disgusting to them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was for most of us, I think.
That's true, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, of course, styles now, yeah. But
of course.
Yeah. God, it was
of course.
Like, what the?
Yeah.
No, you never ever pretend that you started off, you know, like with a Sierra Nevada in your hand.
I wish.
Because that is such a load of shit.
Well, but 19-year-olds like, now, that is true. Right?
Maybe, totally. Right? And we're out of touch with that. Like, that, to me, is just so crazy classy.
Yeah.
That really, you don't even know what, like, a Pabst or a, right? Like,
yeah.
That's insane to me. Cool. So that's where we, Kokanees, and I thought I was drinking classy beer with, not to knock Kokanee. Kokanee has its place. It does. It
especially
is,
out here, right?
It is the slogan. It is the beer out here.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just telling my brother, if I had to drink a domestic, it would be Kokanee, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It is the classy one.
My domestic is water, but.
It's just when you're in a city, like especially growing up, where I was in Winnipeg, we were in Winnipeg, and that's a big, you're like, oh, it's got mountains on it, it's glacier water, or, you know, like, you're thinking that you're doing your part.
Yeah, exactly.
That was almost the definition of craft for us.
Yeah.
Like, literally, because we thought
nothing else.
We thought we were supporting a mountain town.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? And you kind of were back then.
Like, yeah, I don't know when they were bought. Can't even remember.
I don't know.
It was after the 80s, because when my dad moved here from Ontario, part of the reason he moved to BC was because Kokanee was such a good beer, and the original recipe was actually really good. But then sometime after they moved to BC, it got bought out, the recipe changed. At a certain point, it was actually a respectable beer.
I always wondered about that, though. Like, I wonder about that, because everyone says it about every beer.
I know.
So, like, everyone says that Kokanee changed, or Sleeman's changed.
McBee changed.
And I don't know.
But he really did say it did change in the 80s, and he stopped drinking it. So it was, I believe that there was a change.
Well, there was a lot of good beer in the 80s here, so. Probably true.
But like you said, my taste buds change big time. Because I can drink a 7% Imperial IPA now, and, you know, before it was
Or sours. We go golfing or get a bunch of sours while we're golfing.
Yeah.
Whoever thought we'd be downing sours while we're golfing.
Yeah,
so.
Your first time having a Belgian beer, right? Really. Like, it's pretty weird the first time.
And it's a good thing.
It's neat to see that transition, too, in our town, right? Because, like he's saying, the Budweiser crowd or the... Even our wheat beer, you forget it. I mean, this is yellow. What's wrong with this? This is yellow. Like, something is clearly wrong with this beer.
I can't even pronounce Hefeweizen. How do you say that? I'll just take
it. Yeah.
That one with an H.
We thought about taking out the Weizen part and just making it half, right? Just to make it simple.
Yeah.
But, it's those kind of beers that...
Just watching it evolve into...
And
it's a day-to-day beer now. It's a day-to-day beer, so it's
right. Friends
cool.
of ours, too, right?
Yeah.
So, people walk in and go, no. And now they're like you said, they want specific beers that we're really into.
Yeah, for sure.
It's super cool.
I guess one of my favorite parts about this brewery is that it's such a unique and kind of odd building with tasting rooms upstairs, breweries downstairs, but you can see the brewery from upstairs. It's a big hole. Maybe talk about this building.
It's cool for you, but it presents like so many challenges that makes me want to but you know, I get it, because it's you want to go to a brewery and see the tanks and you know, see brewers working and making beer, and I get that, but
it's actually more like a fishbowl here.
Yeah, exactly, like a zoo watching me. What are you doing down there? Okay, what's that for?
Watch the wild brewery in natural habitat.
Yeah, exactly, right. But, you know, we've figured it out, we've dealt with it, and we have people to help us, and we have our little lift, and we have tools to help us get the beer up and down the stairs, and it's not ideal, but we make it work. It's good exercise.
Yeah.
And, with our new equipment that's coming, too, we've revolved around the lift to get stuff up and down, so that sure helps. And,
for sure.
But it'd be nice to just have a forklift and just drive stuff in and out, but that's too easy, and it's not supposed to be easy.
So... It's super problematic, for sure.
Yeah.
But like we've always talked about, and once we go back upstairs and you have a few beers and you see everyone coming and going and sitting in the sun and looking at Sally's Alley.
Yeah.
Red Mountain is right there. It's the best view, the most sun. Like it's almost, it's the coolest spot, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So the hardest part about it is the best part about it.
Yeah.
So we've grown to realize that. And then if we try to kind of recreate this somewhere else and make it more practical, that might be gone.
Yeah.
So you almost are like, you be careful what you wish for, right? So we realize what's cool about it, and it sucks balls. Excuse me. Lifting kegs
up. Taking it to a new level.
Yeah, yeah. Now I'm not right up to that. You have to. You might need to
delete that word.
No, that's perfect.
But it's tough, right? Like,
yeah.
And we know that, but it's like, I mean, you saw my office.
Yeah.
And the office is made out of a vault, right? And I'm 6'6", right? But honestly, that vault works.
Yeah, it does.
Like, it works. It's so practical. I have chalkboards and distribution boards and computer. Like, everything is, like, laid out where I don't miss anything because it's literally, like, there.
Just turn your chair around.
Exactly. And then there's a giant calendar and everything's laid out. And once you get used to your system,
yeah.
I almost couldn't. I mean, I could imagine, you know, a 40-inch TV and, you know, AC and, you know, some luxuries.
Yeah.
But we've killed it without all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what it's all about too, is that a lot of that stuff you don't need. You know, like
that's true,
that might confuse, you know, like it's not just a garage door. It's not just the cool bar. It's not just the typical stuff at a craft. Like we went to Denver, I was in Denver, and there's a lot of breweries that look exactly the same.
Yeah.
There's a lot in Vancouver that look exactly the same, too.
And we weren't going for that.
No. Nope.
Like, we had no intention of that. We want the garage door because so people can come in and out.
Yeah.
And
it's more open in a small space.
It's super open in a small space. So we kind of, like, we really appreciate the uniqueness of it. We totally understand how problematic it is.
Yeah.
Sucks balls.
It sucks balls. You can't quote us on the suck balls part, but I guess you are, yeah. But it's one of those things where we kind of appreciate that some people, it's one of the best things about it. Like, we've had people come in Architectural Magazine and been like, what have you guys done here? Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And we had to come up with this design because it was the only thing that would work. So the owner of the building, and we all had this meeting, and there's a lot of issues, obviously, right, with structural and design. And
I know that side.
And,
of it, yeah.
And yeah, and there was a lot of other ways we could have done it that would have not been as cool. And this was the option, right? Get on the main floor, all the weight. This is the basement, right?
Yeah.
And we just turn it into a working space that people could view and appreciate the stainless. And, yeah.
Awesome. I guess... things are changing right now, but for someone that lives in Vancouver, this system could be quite recognizable to people out of North Van. Came originally out of Bridge Brewing Company from their Nano location. Maybe what's the brew size of this system that you're about to take out or taking out currently?
So sitting beside us right now is Bridge's old system. It was Patrick that showed us how
Patrick
to use
Dore.
It.
Patrick Dore.
Yeah, good guy.
I think
he's there anymore.
No, he's not, but
no?
He still pokes around once in a while.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Friends
so,
with
yeah.
the owners.
Good.
So we spent a day with him and showed us, you know, how to work it. And a few months later, it was at our door. And it's a 3.5-barrel system. And there's two mash tuns, two boil kettles. And so what we do is I usually brew on a Tuesday, Wednesday. And so the going one day will be into one tank, the other day will be in the other tank. And then a week or so later, we'll combine that into our big bright tank. So that's gonna be 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 different mash tuns into one beer. So
within two days.
So
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's not super ideal. It's super manual. It's an awesome big ass homebrew setup.
Yeah.
But and it's done great for us. And we're on batch 220.
218.
Yeah. I don't know how many Bridge did, but you know, add that on there, and this thing's a workhorse, and it's going to Fort St. John now, and it's running strong, and it's been great to us, but. It's time to move on and get a little more automation going on. And specific mechanical's been so great to work with, and we got our new shit coming, and it's awesome. to say the least. Yeah.
So 3.5 barrels, back-to-back days, right? So double days, 7-7.
Yeah.
And that's basically, the idea is that it's like 14, 15 in a week.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess it would be considered nano, wouldn't it? Or is it?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. It falls under nano, for sure.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like a very, very large bunker system.
Yeah, exactly.
The tanks aren't. But the brewing system itself.
Yeah, I mean, to describe it to the listeners, it's a four, you know, there's four
vessels.
Yeah, four vessels and four huge cookers. It's literally what it is. It's like a giant barbecue. Right. And we've made some modifications along the way that we had to do. So we've had a lot of life lessons, brewery lessons with it. Some crazy mornings. And also some CSA approved moments.
Oh yeah, I've heard those before.
So we've gone through a bunch of things where we also fixed the false beds. We've made it better. It's actually much better. Ryan was mentioning it before. It sold, I think, 6-7 hours on Pro Brewer. Gone.
Yeah.
The guy has already been down and brewed with Ryan.
Nice.
And I answered.
Paid it forward.
Yeah. And happy to help him.
Exactly.
Great guy. And look forward to trying out their beers. And,
bit of a driving.
But
beer.
I'm also happy to say you can take that.
Yeah.
The next system's much more turnkey.
Yeah.
I usually get an email or two a week from him. And randomly, because of our size and possibly our success, we've been helping out other breweries, startup breweries, from Nova Scotia to BC. There's probably been about eight or nine breweries in the last 6-7 months that I'm answering emails from and just helping out with just regulations and don't forget about this. And honestly, people always talk about the industry and how great it is. It really is great. And there's some people that you just don't like personally, but that has nothing to do with the beer.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's just like you would be buddies if he was your neighbor.
No, yeah. I mean, I work in engineering fields. Engineering firms do not collaborate.
Yeah.
They do not help out their competitor.
Yeah.
we
have no issue with that. And we're lucky because, we're not pioneers, but we're also the first ones to bring a brewery back to this area in 100 years. So that comes with a lot of stuff.
When you
talk to the building inspector, when you talk to the local liquor inspector, when you talk to all these people, you start to know your knowledge.
Yeah.
I don't want to say no more than them, because that would be the wrong thing to say.
Yes.
But you are up to speed, because you have to be. And so you start to learn all these ins and outs, and you feel very comfortable when you give advice or when you're on top of it, because it's your business, it's your baby, right? You don't want to go to sleep saying, oh, well, I wonder if we're allowed to do that, or, well, you know.
Yeah.
So when the guy walks in, or someone is, it's not like Vancouver, it's not like Victoria, because it's just so common there. Everything is just, you go down, three blocks and you go see another brewery.
Right, exactly.
And we don't have that. So we also have to prepare, like lids, stupidest thing, but lids for growlers.
Yeah.
Well, when we first started, if you didn't have lids for growlers, you're out of business. Because literally, we were filling way more growlers when we first started. Now a lot of people are drinking by the glass.
Yeah, sure.
Also, we changed our model as a lounge license.
Yeah, it's not the 12 ounces per day per person.
Exactly.
Which is a horrible rule.
Horrible. But we also learned the ins and outs of what could really bring you down. So not a knocked over tank, not a someone, not something tragic, but not having lids. Oh, just get lids shipped out. Okay. Try to get lids here. That could be 4 days later. If it's on a Friday, they're not here till Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? You're hoofed.
Yeah. Just hop in a car and rush to the closest brewery and hope they'll give you some.
And Nelson Brewing Company didn't have lids, right? They don't have growlers.
They don't have growlers,
So this is all within the last few years. We've been around now, which sounds crazy for us, but we were before some of these breweries.
Yeah.
So now we could be like, hey, man, I need 300 lids, right? Just to last us for a day or two, or 3 or 4 days, and that will help us.
Kind of a trailblazer.
We can't say that.
I wouldn't take that
in this area.
Yeah, we wouldn't say that by any means, but we definitely feel like we're 41 years old, going on 60.
Yeah.
When it comes to certain things, for sure.
Definitely.
How is the community of craft brewing in the Kootenays? Like, do the brewers get together? Do you guys collaborate with other breweries around here?
For sure. You know, we have our, you know, beer festivals a year. We, you know, we talk and email. We go visit their breweries. And we just saw Mike at Backroads a couple weeks ago. And super supportive. And everyone's, like, there to help each other.
From Nelson? So he left Nelson, and he's one of the owners of
Backroads. Has his new brewery going on.
Yeah. And it's great.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to check that out tomorrow, probably.
Yeah, they're awesome. It's a great spot, for sure. Right on Baker and Nelson is a perfect spot for a brewery.
We definitely have a connection with them in as far as beer being of the utmost importance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even on our, like, day one, like, Al was, you know, Trail Brewing down there talking and bullshit.
Yeah, Al from Nelson Brewing likes to think that he came up with all the great ideas for Ross and Beer Company.
Nice.
So there is some jokes about that. We love Al. Al's a great guy. But he was like, he came in one day and was like, what the hell are you doing down here? You got to be up in Roslyn. And then we were up in Roslyn. But what we did is we found someone to fill our lease. So we had to switch buildings and there was a whole thing. But we love Al and we have a good connection with everybody. The guys
even down, Grand Forks,
we helped him a ton.
But the dude that's the Spence's Hill?
Norm.
We found a bottle of the liquor
store. We were driving around like, wait a second, there's a brewery in Grand Forks, isn't there, Mike? We went and we found the last bottles.
We helped him.
They weren't open today, but we found the bottle.
Yeah. He would call us a lot. My funny line that is a really good one is that if you're not... Hey, Norm, if you don't Google...
Yeah, like he's never going to listen to this.
He won't listen to this, so we're okay. I'm like, Norm, if you don't Google, like if you don't have a computer and you Google regularly, this will never work.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, Patrick, don't worry. And he's like, don't worry, we'll. And I'm like, dude, it'll help you. Well, you can learn from other people. Like Google, you got to learn to Google.
Yeah.
You know, like we would never. Google's been like our third partner. Like you have to maximize the information that's there.
Sure. He's an older guy.
He is. And we're just like, dude, it was so impressive that he even got it off the ground.
Yeah.
Good. Honestly, he's a really good guy too. Really good guy. But the guys down at Trail, Mike Conklin and... They started off their big space.
Yeah.
Maybe they got some inspiration from maybe they got some inspiration from the corrugated metal and the look.
Yeah.
We like that. We think it's awesome. We've been down there a few times. The food is really, really good.
Nice.
And I think they're only going to get better.
And we're going to head there actually after this.
Perfect.
There you go. Yeah. So,
and then Caslow has a new brewery.
It's only 10 kilometers away, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's right down the hill. Yeah. You can put it in neutral and go down the hill.
Yeah. Save gas. All right.
What's the brewery in Caslow?
Angry Hen, I believe it's
called.
Yeah, that's the summer it's going to be opening. And
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, there's four breweries in Nelson now. Did you go to there's the Savoy brewery?
Not yet. That'll be tomorrow.
Yeah, that's super. It's super pretty tiny little brewery, like your closet style brewery. Yeah. There's tanks hanging from chains from the ceiling.
No way.
But you know, they're that big, but it looks super cool.
That's awesome.
The really food's good, it's great atmosphere, it's all
Torchlight is super
Love
small.
Those guys,
They might have even been smaller than us when we first started. And now they're much bigger.
That's
now
great.
Now they're going after some big numbers.
So Cootie Beer's happy and healthy.
Yeah.
And
love sure. it. Yeah.
It's really awesome.
I counted there was 11 or 12. So 11 or 12 on the BC Hill Trail.
Yeah, I mean, one of the nice things about the Kootenays is there's almost as many hot springs. So you can have a really nice holiday if you want, if you're coming from out of town.
Right.
Collect your beers and then take a stop for the night.
Just keep the clothes on, Mike. Don't get naked.
Not a chance. Bathing suit all the way, man.
Are there any good beer-related events in the Kootenays? Like stuff that, you know, would drive somebody out from Vancouver, from the Okanagan to come out here?
For sure. I mean, we have our event that's gaining steam every year. It's the Beer Goggles up at Red Mountain. So that event is becoming a real event. And I don't mean becoming, it is a real event. It's something that has grown from the first year till last year. I think it's our fourth year.
Yeah.
Fourth, going into fifth or fourth, I'm not sure.
And there's probably, 20 breweries there?
Yeah, and they're all like top notch. Like, so originally it might not have been the strongest lineup, but now it's organized, dialed in. People like going to it. It's a 2-day thing.
Nice.
It's really good. Like it's intense.
Right at the bottom of the hill, the ski hill's still open, so you can go skiing, and people are really kind of planning it out for the year.
Nice.
I just hope they ski first and drink later.
Right, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Ski while you drink.
Yeah. No, it's an awesome event, and we give kudos to Red Mountain for putting it on every year, and it's become a kind of a March yearly thing that we look forward to.
Some definitely look forward to.
That's the mountain you see as you come down the highway, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can see it from our patio, right from the patio. That's the corner of that Sally's Alley. That's Red Mountain.
Perfect. And then we had a Castlegar Beer Festival.
Yeah.
There's one in Nelson in October.
Yeah, there's more and more coming.
Yeah.
It's where do they hold the Castlegar Castfest?
I think that was the Hume Hotel. This might be a first. This can be first for us anyways, but it was the Hume Hotel.
But the Castlegar one was at the...
Oh, the Castlegar one.
The Castlegar one was at the YMCA, or not the YMCA, but the Sports Rec Center, right? Yeah.
Interesting.
And that, it's kind of a rotary thing they put on.
Okay, yeah, they seem to be involved with beer stuff.
Yeah, so things are gaining steam for sure. There's a really good one that's longer term in East Kootenays in
Fairmont.
Fairmont. Yeah, I've been to that once actually. Yeah. That was a blast.
Yeah, and they
never made it.
We really plan on making it next year. So
I love the fact that there's no tokens.
Right.
You pay your ticket price.
Right.
That's it.
You drink as much as you want.
Yes.
But we might have to put our hand above the mic here, but is that okay? Like, I thought that wasn't allowed.
Maybe it is in these cookies.
Wait, is it? Because they do that with wine festivals.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a great area.
The rules are never the same.
No, they're not. And like in Vancouver, it's not a chance. Yeah. Even ones where it is free samples, you have to have tickets regardless.
Right.
I've been to events like that where, here, have more tickets, but you have to have tickets.
I don't know if you can cut this out, like in Penticton they have a wine festival in the fall, and it's the best ever because you spend $60 and you get a cab ride home and food while you're there and all the wine you can drink for $60.
Wow, right. That's a good
thing. If you like wine, like so I'm just if it's the same, it has to be the same because they're not really specifying wine or beer in the legislation.
Right.
It's how you serve alcohol, right?
It's funny how the laws seem to be different with every type of booze, though.
Yeah.
As an event,
the wine and the beer really kind of pisses me off though, because like MOT, Ministry of Transportation, those signage, it doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
Where you could be a
winery's rich.
A brewery's out of town, and their explanation to you, which I have a letter saying, because they're a major draw for tourism in BC. Okay, so.
Except that we drove by a couple wineries that have been converted into cideries now.
Exactly.
So yeah, a big draw.
Right. So like, why can't we have a sign saying out of town saying there's a brewery.
Yeah.
But there's rural and issues, but I just noticed it happens for wineries but not for breweries.
Oh, yeah.
And hopefully that'll change. I'm going to get you guys another.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
What
do you
want? Surprise me.
Okay.
We'll try the half, please.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Joe, we've just posted something about there's a big long thing about the Taste magazine that's published by the BC liquor stores and how he pitched an article idea to them about BC craft beer. And then he wrote this whole app and like they paid him for it, but then they didn't publish it, but they published some other guy's article that was a little bit more friendly towards map rooms or something, right?
Right.
And Joe is just like pissed right off about like the treatment of craft beer at BC liquor stores. Like, it's just kind of like the whole government. It's frustrating, I think, for a lot of people, right? But so he's just saying he's tired of this, right? So he's going to make a big stink about this one certain aspect. But yeah, so it's now it's like step two of the craft beer revolution. It's like actual.
It's coming. Can't stop us.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah. I think people need to wake up. But well, even the whole Persephone beer farm issue, right? Like Persephone Prado.
Has that been resolved or no?
Persephone is resolved. Cronoga is grandfathered in because they grow, their percentages are right for their farm.
Yeah.
So they're grandfathered in. There was just some miscommunications, it sounds like.
Right.
But no, it's not for Persephone. They have 2 years to either comply or move.
Even with the whole government?
Well, we'll see. We don't even know who's going to be our government.
Yeah, right. Oh, if they have to move, man, that'll kill them. I can't move.
And it's a shame because, like, in Summerland, we have lots of ale on demand, so you could also do something similar out there, but you can't grow enough hops to sustain a brewery, right? So you can't use it.
Although hops don't count for ALR.
Oh, that's right. They don't even let the hops be part of it.
Hops,
yeah.
They it's not a big enough percentage of the brew to count or something.
Well, no, like, you could never be part of it, but, like, that's the only ingredient you can actually
brew. Yeah.
Yeah. had through all. I was like, I was going to bring yours first.
Yeah.
But they didn't get poured first. They're coming.
It's okay.
God. I know. That's shit.
I know. You got a brown, Cycle Brown Ale.
Perfect.
So we named it after Cycle Brew. Makes the brewing equipment. So it was a kind of a last shout out.
Yeah.
So we,
you know, it was also just grab a bunch of ingredients and just like batch two, whatever, and now
see,
it's time to experiment. Like,
see, I'm gonna
I don't know why the fuck I'm experimenting at that point, but.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah, why?
I'm gonna call him out on what a load of shit that is, though. Because you know why? Because it's really good. Because it's a really, really good beer.
Yeah.
So whatever he wants to downplay it, but it's a really, really good beer.
Thanks,
so,
Jess. That's really nice of you.
Thank you very much. So you'll notice that it's very dark in color. Very dark in color. So you think it might be like a sweet, like a like we do a nut brown too.
Yeah.
Which is called Gimme That Nut Brown Ale.
Nice.
We love that name. But
so do I.
Yeah. We're kind of old school that way. But the beer itself came across really balanced.
Yeah.
It's got a hop content, a hop flavor that it's like, it's not by no means overwhelming.
That's right. Yeah. You want to try the hop?
And the hef for us, the only reason we're not pumping it up is just because we've had it around for a couple of years, forever. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice hef.
That's nice brown ale.
I prefer the brown ale though, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's a brown ale. Like, I don't even know what.
Yeah, we didn't. It was one of those ones where you could literally.
It could have been an IPA.
You could have called
it black IPA.
It's a bit of a CBA kind of.
An ISB, if that's a new one. Who knows?
But it's like a hoppy brown, but.
There's a bunch of honey malt in there, and I was like, well, maybe it'd be like a honey brown,
right? But there's
hoppy.
No,
IPA.
It's not too.
Just kind of,
hoppy.
That's what it is. That's what came out.
The hoppy honey brown?
Yeah. When
which,
I think
which
honey
is
brown.
Bizarre, because brown ale's so good, and it just don't sell so many places. I hope this one sells well, because it's really tasty.
It does.
Good.
It's been good. It's just, for us, we like it because it's you know, not often where you. We did do, there was the black IPA, but a lot of times, when you're trying to explain to somebody what you have two things going on,
yeah.
It becomes a lot. So you either need to embrace it and really support it,
yeah.
Or you need to be like, okay, let's not do this again. And sometimes people just aren't ready for that, right? Like we were talking about before. But we think that now, like, we're really lucky that most of the supporters and customers we have are into these kind of beers, right?
Yeah, it takes a couple of years, right?
And we're not talking, like, some people might laugh that there's nothing crazy about a brown, hoppy brown beer.
No.
And there isn't, and we know that. But we're still not talking about a medieval grout or...
Grout, yeah.
We're not really...
That's next week, right?
How much of that sells, right? Like back to back to back, right? Like, it's tough.
And I've only had a couple of grouts that I've actually enjoyed. I've had some that are really good,
right.
But they're so rare. Usually it's just kind of like...
Right.
That was interesting.
Yes. Yeah. And for the most part, you won't have three or four of them, right? So I usually say the same kind of thing where I really appreciate it. And, you know, you guys writing about beer would understand this, but I get confused with the best beer ever, but not wanting a second. I don't know that theory. I don't know about that, right? Like, this is the best beer I've ever had. Would you like a second one? No, I'm good. Okay, so
well, there's some like the best beer ever that I've had. There's some that I would say no to only because they're 15% alcohol.
Sure.
But sure, not because sure. I wouldn't want another one. It's just because
right.
I'd
sure.
probably go right back.
Sure, but that's a different
yeah.
different answer, like different reason.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Right? Did you get to try the Storm one? The
Glacier Mountain Extinction?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Is it crazy or
awesome.
Like tell me about it. Like,
awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
Awesome.
It was basically it kind of was more like a sherry or something.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The base beer was a pretty street sour, but the barrel aging kind of took the souring away for
right.
whatever reason, but it
cool.
was really yeah. nice. I mean, it reminded me of Sam Adams Utopias, too. It's another one of those big, crazy beers.
Right.
Both were uncarbonated, both were super thick and viscous.
Right, right.
Both in the, I think Storm was officially 28% alcohol.
Right.
Utopias is 32.
Jeez. So, sherry would be a good...
Yeah, and I mean, they're freeze distilled, so...
Right.
They're beer, but they're distilled in a different way.
Right.
Different animal, so much fun.
For sure. When
for
I go
sure.
to Vancouver, that's my first stop.
Oh, yeah.
The
I
Storm.
Think,
like, I just
people.
Want to like hang out in there. That's awesome.
James is one of my favorite people. First time I met him was at a...
Have you been there?
Was it?
You been there?
Yeah.
Oh, it was the Beer Lask. So, you know, it's a burlesque beer event, and he's in his platform boots, leather boots, leather pants, and a mesh shirt. And I'm like,
nice.
I like this guy.
That's great.
He's weird, and I like it.
It should be about fun, right? Like, it should be. And that's what, you know, like, that's what it's about. Like, if it's not, then what are you guys doing? Like,
yeah, exactly.
And sometimes we see, like, things that come from certain places where you're just like, why is it so official? Like, why has everything got to be so cut or dry? Like, why can't you have, like, you would just, you get the impression that, like, when we do a post on social media, and we have super loyal followers.
Yeah.
Like, all of ours is organic. We feel that it's very representative of our town.
Yeah.
And our area. You know, we have 1,800 people on Facebook. Right. We could easily have 5,000 if we.
What's the population here again?
3,700.
That's pretty friggin' awesome.
That's cool, right? And so, you know, sure, there's the odd mom in there that supports us.
Oh, and I mean, there's the odd guy from Vancouver that supports you.
Yeah, of course. But for the most part, it's really indicative of how things are going.
Yeah,
right?
That's awesome.
And I don't ever get how it's so serious.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it takes the fun out of it, where certain breweries are just like so meticulous about certain posts or certain shares, or where it's like, well, I wonder how long it took to get to this share. Like, did you break it down or edit it 100 times before you're like, here's my...
It's almost corporate, right? It's,
right. And then it takes away from, like, exactly. It
takes the fun out of it.
It almost is like, well, so is this what craft beer is about, where it's supposed to be about just dudes having beer?
Yeah.
Because I get the whole, like, tasting and snobby and, like, you know, we're all trying to refine our palates, but what it breaks down to is still having fun and enjoying beer.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And it's like, when you get too far from that, you're like, now making something up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And that happens a lot.
Yeah. we're so lucky with the people and with our, you know, Twitter is not so, like, we don't put too much time into it, but between Facebook and Instagram, and Twitter's there too, we are really lucky, because a lot of people say, well, why don't you put some money into it?
Yeah.
Well, because I always, it's the same thing when I answer emails. And they say, well, how come you can't do this? And I say, well, I'll give you my analogy. This is always my analogy. It's like inviting you to come to a party, like saying, like, you've got to come to our party.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get in. Right? And so for us, we're full all the time. Like, we're busy. When you walk in, it's busy.
Yeah.
We're at capacity a lot. We're almost out of beer a lot. So it's like telling people to come and have a beer and showing up here, and then we only have one beer pouring or two beers. So it's good problems, but there's no point in pushing that marketing the next level.
Yeah.
There's no point right now, because we're not even there. Like, it'd be like it's kind of sad. Like, sad,
sure.
but also very thankful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The token, like, we're super grateful where we're at.
Yeah.
Of course we are. But you can't tell people, like, we couldn't put advertising on radio.
No.
Why? Because,
well, I mean, you could do Facebook advertising, which can actually get a fairly large pull for, you know, relatively little money.
But
if you don't have beer for it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's like...
Although that might be coming soon.
Exactly. And then we'll see. And then we'll reevaluate. But it's like being open later.
Yeah.
Why aren't we open till 9 or 10 at night? Because we'd run out of beer. That's it. That's it. And we tell our friends or locals that now they get it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll enjoy it while you're open. But if we were open later, we would literally run out of beer.
Yeah.
So
you could be open later and open less days.
And that's possible. Yeah. But what's kind of, we like the idea of 7 days being able to fill up your growler.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And I mean, get off work, come for a beer, sit down with some friends, why go to the coffee shop?
Yeah.
You do that in the morning or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. How will the new system change things for you guys then? Like, you're going from a very, very small system to, what's the capacity of the new system?
So it's
going to
be a 7-barrel system, and we'll double batch on that, and we're going to have 6 15-barrel fermenters. So we know we spent a lot of time thinking about moving somewhere else, staying here, what are we going to do? So, you know, we saw another brewery that had stack tanks, where, like, the light bulb was just like, holy shit, we have tons of ceiling height.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to stack the tanks. So we're going to have 3 15s on the bottom and then 3 15s up top, which is still super, super small. But for us, it's 3 times more beer.
Mm-hmm.
So for what we need for the next level, is we're pretty pumped about that. And it's going to increase our money.
Yeah.
It's more beer, man. More beer.
It's yeah. sort of a lot of people don't understand too the margins and how they work. Like when you first years back, 7-8 years ago, I remember reading about it has to be this big to make money. Well, I completely disagree with all of those theories because we are the proof of the pudding. And if you have good margins and you have smart staff and you know about your overhead and just good business sense, acumen, you can make it work.
As long as your rent isn't too high.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's the hard part. Vancouver is a big difference probably.
It's hard to be this size in Vancouver.
For sure.
The rent is just next level.
Right. For sure. But it would be hard to be, I agree with you, but it would be hard to be this size for capacity.
Yeah.
Right? So you could charge more for your beers. You need a 70, 80 people always full in the brewery. Like,
you don't have enough beer because you don't have enough beer.
Exactly. So it is tough.
Yeah.
But for us, we know the numbers where they're not small numbers either.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, we now have staff and things are rolling where we can go to that next level and feel very comfortable. We're not relying on distribution.
Yes.
It kind of goes full circle because we were talking about this morning. We understand how growlers are problematic. And I think Mike and I have had this conversation before.
Yeah.
Growlers are not ideal for someone who doesn't know how to use them. So that's a big chunk of people, sadly. Right?
Especially when you're further from Vancouver, which has had a long time to figure them out.
For sure. Right. So I love growlers. And they were the core, they'll always be a part of us. And they'll always be a big part of it because that's how we get our person to take a six pack home and come back and get some new beer the next day. But that being said, as far as the distribution goes with kegs, it kind of brings me full circle to the mentality of it. We, and this is just how Ryan and I feel about it, is that we like the idea of our beer being locally. Now we might have, sure, we might be in the Alibi Room, or we might be in...
I would love to hear that. Let me know if it does.
Well, we have talked with them.
Okay, good.
And they're open to when we hit that next phase, right? So we have a soft yes, and they we would love to see that happen.
Yeah.
So there'd be a few exclusive things in certain areas, and I hate the word exclusive because it's so anti-Roslyn, but the idea is that we would be in certain places away from our town.
Yeah.
That being said, we're not relying with this business model on our distribution by any means, because we've saw the initial problems that growlers can do. Now, someone in the beer industry would say, well, what the hell do growlers have to do with kegs or cans? Everything. Because it's the same bad mentality or same bad care or same ignorance or same shit that you take care of your stuff. Yeah. It goes into a hot truck. It goes into some bad shed. It goes into a cooler that isn't working. It goes into someone that doesn't know what they're talking about. It goes into all these different things.
You didn't rinse it out properly?
Sure, but just like the keg. Or in dirty lines, or this, or that. So when you start relying on all those massive distribution numbers, which, and I'm not knocking anyone that's going that way, but that's not our thing.
Yeah, sure.
And so we think that we can hit almost those numbers that those people are projecting by doing it locally. How? Because we're always full, and we'll always have people drinking $5 glasses of beer.
Yep.
So even if you do the math at 30, 40 people, and you're full 7 days a week for 5-6 hours a day, you're hitting those numbers.
Yeah.
And and we're on tap everywhere locally. So everywhere locally, and some, you know, here in Nelson, Golden, my buddy owns a bar in Golden.
Yeah.
Like there's, you know, some of those kind of things. We love the idea of our beer being everywhere,
but
we don't love the idea of someone not giving a flying F about it and not putting the care in that we do.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. And it's the same thing with a growler. It literally was like light bulbs 3 years ago with growlers. I understand that they're not ideal for certain things, but they are ideal for the real beer connoisseur who takes care of it
and
appreciates it because it's fresh. It's right from the belly of the beast. Like, there's no hidden formula. It's fresh beer.
Is that an Iron Maiden song or album?
Belly of the Beast? I think Belly of the Beast.
Is that an album?
Right. It might be.
Iron Maiden.
But that's kind of how we look at it. And we think that there's a lot of... it could be lucrative. It could be very lucrative.
I mean, the more beer you can sell here, the better, because the margins are always better here. Because you're not selling to a bar who has to make money, or a distributor that has to sell to a bar that has to make money.
Of course.
Yeah.
I remember finally, you.
When we were coming up with I think the 19th business plan, 5 years ago, I was like, so we're on the hook for the whole distribution cost?
Oh yeah, that's just the way it is.
Oh, wow. Like, you have to pay for everything to get to you,
yeah.
And then you sell the beer at 5 times the price. And, like, that's the best deal in the world for you,
yeah.
Not for us. Mm-hmm. So then you wonder, okay, so it's all about volume.
Exactly.
Of course, so you need lots of volume. But then when you have lots of volume, you break down to your quality, and your QC
yeah.
is out the door. And that's why we tip our hats to Budweiser, as far as consistency and quality control. Good on those guys. They could write it's amazing what they
yeah.
do on a day-to-day basis.
It always tastes awful, but it tastes exactly the same.
That's impressive.
That's my own opinion. Right. But it tastes the same. It doesn't matter if it's brewed
exactly.
in, I don't think they brew here anymore, but it doesn't matter if it's brewed in Canada, US,
exactly.
if it's brewed in Japan, it always tastes exactly
yeah.
the same, and it's not the same ingredients.
Right. And we know
that's not easy to do.
No,
very
they're
impressive.
Scientists. It's
yeah.
very impressive.
Yeah.
That's some of the best craft brewers have come from those backgrounds.
Right. So
I think, was it Mitch Steele was one of the guys?
Yep.
I think he came from that. He's
yep.
one of the biggest craft brewers out
right.
there.
Right.
And there's a lot of people coming out of the Vancouver scene now that came from Molson.
For sure. Right.
Steamworks.
For sure.
Julia, I think she worked for Molson originally,
right.
and she's killing
right.
it now.
Right.
Because she got a really good education there.
Right.
And then went,
yeah.
wait a minute, I can make something taste good.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I've got that quality control they talk
right.
to.
Right. And see, we've learned that being in Roslyn, like that, the black hole kind of for deliveries.
Yeah.
We've learned that from all of our favorite breweries and yours too.
Yeah.
If you go to our local cold beer line, it's tough. Like, it's tough. We can have, and I'm not naming any
yeah.
names because they're some of my favorite places.
Yeah.
But they're different bottle to bottle. And like clarity to clarity, and who cares about clarity? We don't. We for sure don't.
Yeah.
Some people do. But as far as even taste, within one bottle right beside another bottle, because it was in a different box and it sat too long somewhere else in the sun, or who knows?
Or it was shipped in a hot truck instead of
yeah.
a refrigerated
who knows?
Truck.
Yeah. And it's not their fault.
No.
It literally
not
is not their fault. And so, do they care long term? Maybe not. And it's really easy to say now because we're not mentioning any names.
Yeah.
So maybe they don't care. Maybe they do. But we don't want to go there.
Yeah.
If exactly. we don't have to. Now, that being said, 10 years from now, you might be like, man, do you remember that podcast? Holy.
Oh, no. I'll send you a link to it.
You're like, dude, how wrong are you? But you know what? The only thing that we can say is that we will be true to our word as
yeah.
far as what we can control. We are controlling it locally to the point where, you know, sure we're small, but it's not about being small, it's about caring about what the person tastes.
Yeah.
So Roslyn is a cool enough place, and the area, Nelson, Golden, there's enough market for us.
Yeah.
Come out here, and sure you might get a, how do I use another word, exclusive? Go to a really cool spot somewhere in Vancouver and you might have our beer too. Because we know the person and they want to support us.
Yeah.
But that's not really what our end game is.
No.
Our end game is about having wicked happy people here enjoying crazy good beer and just
locally.
And we were just talking about that on the ride over about how it's going to go from a couple of years ago, it was like we're going to be the next biggest brewery in BC to where now it's going to be every little town that has a certain population is going to have a brewery.
Yeah. Well,
and the only way to have that beer is to go to that place.
Right.
And I think that's great, right?
Yep.
Because
me too.
Like I want to drink local, I want to eat local, so that's a big reason for me to travel around the province is so that way I can have the local food and local beer. So, because you're right, you can't control it. If you ship all over the province, you see some of the really great bigger breweries that start off small and really good quality, and now you can see some of these names and you go, it's not like how it used to be.
Yeah.
And they're making a lot of money, but
yeah.
you know, they're hiring, they have 300 people working for them, and it's
yeah.
a whole different
right.
ballgame now.
You walk into one liquor store, like a really big craft beer place in Vancouver, and you buy a 6-pack of something from away. Something from not from Vancouver or Victoria, but BC.
Yeah.
And it's off, or it's not good. You'll never buy it again.
Yeah.
You won't. You'll be like, Maybe you would 2 years ago, maybe, like, you know what I mean? Like maybe
yeah.
wait 8 months but that's not a good plan. And so what happens is that to us, that keeps me up. I'm like, oh man, I don't want that. I don't even want that to think about that. Never mind, it happened. And people are like, well, you're in the wrong game. It's like, well, no, come here and see what we've done.
Yeah, exactly.
See how you can turn 19 liter carboys into 10 gallon batches into 700 liter batches into 2,000 liter batches, and we're not talking about
we're into significant numbers where some would even say millions. Mm-hmm. And that's impressive, right? Like, so for us, we know that we can still have that quality control and that love for the beer.
Yeah.
And be a little bit anal about it. like almost where we're on top of it, it becomes a little bit too much. I admit, because it's a problem, right? Like, when we worry about the beer going out, and but that's kind of the best thing about it.
Yeah. What are your core beers? What are the core brands you've got?
It's tough because we have 1, 2, 3 fermenters and 1 bright tank. So there's never really ones that are always on tap, but we try to keep a pale ale. We try to have an IPA, we have our stouts and stuff, but with the new system, we want to have, at least 5 beers, and then we want to have 1 tank just dedicated to fucking around.
Yeah.
We want to do some sours, maybe even some lagers, just whatever type beers. So, with stout, pale ales, for sure, and IPAs, that kind of stuff, the norm. Like, we want people to come in and be able to, we don't want a 15% Russian Imperial IPA where you can't drink a growler of it, because that's just, not going to make us any money.
Eventually, maybe we'll have a tap, something like that.
Right, but I'm just saying, now, in our setup, we can't have that option. We need beers that people want to drink more than one.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So 6 fermenters, from 3 to 6 is double the size fermenters. So
yeah,
get to experiment a little bit because we've been making the same beers for the last 3 years. And I'm super excited about just mess around with different ingredients and yeasts and temperatures. And it's awesome.
It's like a playground.
Yeah. It's like starting over again. It makes a big smile on my face. Yeah. And
it's about 318% more beer we'll have.
Yeah.
So, it's not a little amount.
When does it get here?
First week of July.
Okay, so we come back in the fall, we have like a whole
new setup.
Exactly.
Nice. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. If we don't, then you'll see me running around with my head on fire. Yeah, I know. He also downplays those staples, though, because that's what he does.
But yeah.
We haven't entered many beers in many competitions. And the ones we have entered, we've been lucky enough to win, right?
Yeah.
So, and I know in the industry, it's kind of 50-50 on how people look at awards. And we never thought much of it until we won one, right? But we also, and we're not trying to sound like asses, but we haven't entered in many of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we honestly don't bottle beer a lot.
Yeah.
So when we don't have a bottle of beer, we're like, well, we really should bottle, like for the Canadian, this year the Canadian, we didn't enter because we didn't have any beer bottle.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't feel like opening up a keg and bottling 12 bottles to send or whatever. I just didn't. And so we know that we'd sell it and we'd make money here, and we're like, we're so small that that's tough. So as he talks about some of those staples, we also won the best stout in the country in 2015 at the Canadian Brewing Awards.
Yeah.
Pater Pale Ale, we were open for 6 months, and that won a BC Beer Award. And maybe down the road we'll get more into entering them. We'll kind of see the feedback on what people are actually thinking about the awards.
Yeah.
We don't know. We know that for some people it means a lot, and for other people it means nothing.
I love the awards. I don't really like how they're judged.
Yeah.
But I love them anyways. It's great to see what breweries are doing what and see how they're doing. And maybe I don't like that they go to style guidelines.
Right.
But it's still good to see who's making a good beer.
Yeah.
Even if it's not the beer that I want.
Yeah, right.
It's still good to see. Yeah.
And if it raises awareness.
Yeah, oh god, yeah.
And I think that's
what
it's about.
Look what's happened with Mount Bagby.
Yeah.
They're going to blow up now after winning that best brewery in Canada, right?
That's great.
I mean, their beers are all solid. I don't run out of my way usually to get their beers. Just because they're style guidelines. They're really well made. But
I think most of us feel the same way.
Yeah. But they're good beers. Yeah. And they're... Have they already moved into their new location? Is that still transitioning?
I think it's close anyways. Yeah.
So, which is perfect, because when Old Yale won that for best stout in Canada, or best beer in Canada, they were still in their old location, and they're just like, I guess we're making just Sasquatch now because we can't keep up.
Right.
At least they've got that game. Now they can expand, and they're going to, because that award's going to really help them.
Right. And that's... They need to expand to their current brewery.
Well, they were moving from that old auto shop,
bigger production,
to a brand new building or whatever. Right. I don't know if they've moved yet.
I think it's also
awesome.
Yeah, it's also too is that with that exposure, it comes great things. So however you want to downplay it,
yeah,
And it is what it is, which is a horrible, everyone says that.
But well, they do, yes.
But it's true.
Was it Bertuzzi that said that
first? it is what it is. But when someone wins something like that, and if it affects you that much, like if it affects your business and your bottom line, yeah, and what you can do projection-wise, it's an awesome thing. And Mount Bigby, like you were saying, might be forgotten sometimes when we talk about some of the better beers. And I say that very respectively.
Oh yeah.
But there's also like Nasty Habit. Like there's beers that are Nasty Habits, Mount Bigby, right?
Yeah.
So there's beer, even the Kolsch, there's beers there that are steady Eddies, I call them.
Well, they're exceptionally made beers, and they sell really well.
But how is it fair to them?
To the beer geek, that's the problem.
But how is it fair to them? That's what I mean. So when you're comparing on beer lists, they'd be like, oh, how could they win best? Are you out of your mind? They still have a bunch of beers that are made a bunch of people really happy.
Oh, exactly.
And if that means that it's close to the curve of commercial or big, no way.
No, not at all. High quality, yeah, still.
It's still people caring about it, and it's still a family, and it's a mom pop operation that turned into something bigger. Like,
totally.
I think it's awesome.
And they won the award at the perfect time because they were expanding.
Yeah.
So they're not about to just go empty.
Yeah.
Which has happened to many breweries in Canada so far when they've won these awards.
Yeah.
I think it happened with Powell Street,
right?
With their old Nano, the old Jalopy one, and there was lineups out the door, and they'd have a beer for one day a week, and they would sell out, and they'd close their doors,
right?
Which is a horrible business model, but it still worked because every week when they said we got beer, the lineup was out the door.
So that wouldn't work here.
No, it wouldn't work in Vancouver if there wasn't so many breweries already.
Yeah, we would.
So you go, oh crap, and you walk over to P49, or you walk to Storm, so you can still get your beer.
I would call it a two-time, someone who would happen twice to someone here, like an old-timer, and he'd be like, that's not happening here. I'm done with that.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys aren't open when they say they're open or whatever. We take pride in being open because there's Kootenai time, right?
Yeah.
And we take pride in being open at noon every day, and we're open every day.
Which is better than the island time, which we're open at maybe two.
Hey. It's for us, it seems like an obligation. Like if you're like you're getting someone into your product and then be like, well, we're open when we want to be open.
Yeah. That works in some places.
Yeah, which is great.
But it doesn't work in a lot of places. Kind of fun question. What's your favorite beer that you don't brew? Just, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be BC. It doesn't have to be...
Currently?
Or whatever. Just in general.
Question. So right now, currently at this today... I really like that Blackberry Phillips Sour.
Shut up. I was going to say the same
thing.
I had it last night. Dinah Sour.
Yeah.
No, I saw that in the store.
You can't say that. You can't say that one. I just said it.
That's the one I had last night.
Forget it.
Okay, I got to think of something else.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, the Four Winds Nectaris.
Yeah.
I'm just on a sour kick right now, so those are some of my favorites.
I was on a massive sour kick a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Still love them.
It's almost
my stomach
over.
Doesn't.
It's almost over.
They're still good, though, right? Like, if you get a really good one, they're still, I mean...
People don't realize it's almost
for
over,
sure,
though,
for sure.
I actually wish that Four Winds would start making some more of their original batches of Nectaris, though. Because they're kettle souring it now, where it used to be a long-term sour. I wish they would do, like, the Nectaris
original. The cork one that was aged in barrels, was really good. But now, like, the one that's in the regular, like, pop-top bottles.
It tastes very similar.
Yeah.
But I find kettle sours are way more acidic. They're harder on the stomach.
Right.
Whereas barrel sours don't bother my stomach as much.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Getting old. And
I'd be lying. I don't know the other one. But I know the one with the regular top.
Oh, it's still an amazing beer. Don't worry, the flavor is almost
Four Winds makes really good beer.
They're hands down my favorite. Just, I mean, everything they do is good. They have
maybe second favorite now.
Well, you guys are really good.
But she can get them in the Okanagan.
Crazy magic happening at their brewery. I've never had a bad Four Winds beer, so I got a lot of love for them.
Yeah, no, we don't.
When did you have that beer?
Last week. You like it?
Yeah, it's great. There's got to be something else, though. I'm trying to think of another one. We had an electric unicorn. That's a little Phillips beer. I don't like Phillips.
Actually, this year's batch of electric unicorn is also really good. I was like, that's my new summer beer. It's so good.
I guess, is there anything else you'd like to share about the brewery?
Yeah.
We haven't covered yet.
No, we're supportive of, you know, the town's awesome.
we're really, it sounds like it just repetitive, we're always saying the same thing, but we're really appreciative of where we're at as far as our local support. We've never did a Kickstarter or any kind of fundraising for us, and it's not taking away from anyone that has.
Yeah.
We never did the $1,000 memberships. I totally get it. We just have never done that. And that being said, that tomorrow we could share on social media that we had a fire or there was a problem, and we could have 200 people here helping us tomorrow.
Yeah,
and not wanting anything back, and it would all be pro bono, just help, just local love.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't know if that's the case in other places, and that support is so appreciated. We're in a good spot with the new equipment coming and our plan, and you know, 3 or 4 years from now, we'll reboot.
Yeah.
We'll decide. It was a big decision, like Ryan was mentioning, about buying a building or a whole lot and rebuilding. We had the potential to do that. We're also really proud of being two people that created it, that own it. We don't have investors. We don't have a bunch of people that are involved.
Not even mom or dad.
Not even mom or dad.
That's awesome. So rare, because most breweries are a large collection of investors.
And some would say, well, that's because they're so small. But come check us out. We're not that small. We really aren't. You know, we might seem small in stature, and we kind of break it down and kind of downplay it. But, you know, if you're doing 70, 80 hex a month, which is someone does in a day, I'm okay with that. You can do it in a day, but when you break down how much money you make and how much money we make and how happy you are and how happy we are, it's all relative.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And I think when you master some really good beers, like Ryan is a seriously talented individual. He's a technician when it comes to his beers. And I'm really proud of our overheads and our business and what we've become.
Sure.
So, we're really proud of where we are and where we're going. And we really honestly appreciate people that are into beer and that are enthusiastic about it, and especially people that come out this way, right? Like, it's a long way, right?
Yeah.
So
middle of nowhere.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be day or crack, but I think it was more like 10 today because of construction, and they were clearing off of rock slide.
Yeah.
Always fun.
You've been here since day one, man. So,
you've been around for a while, so we appreciate it. So when we open it up, you know, you were here, and now you're back, and that's why I sent you an email saying, man, you gotta check it out. Like, I was like,
yeah, for sure.
You gotta see this place, because it's different, right?
That email, and then I know the Torchlight guys, and I'm like, grand opening, you guys.
Yeah.
Screw it, let's go.
Yeah, that's awesome. We appreciate it.
And it almost fell apart, because work right now is insane, but made it happen anyways.
Awesome.
That'll be fun tomorrow. I might try to come.
Do it, yeah. It's gonna be a lot of fun, I think.
Awesome.
I guess, where can people find you online? Social media, website, whatever.
We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and our website is roslinbeer.com. It's all pretty straightforward. We share a lot. We're on there pretty steadily. Instagram is more about kind of the exposure with pictures and what's going on with them. We have a lot of mountain biking and skiing and outside influence, and then Facebook kind of gives more of what's available on a weekly basis, beer-wise. Because we have a lot of people follow us that way.
Yeah.
But we're really, really supportive. Like, we appreciate the people that support us, because it's not a huge number, right? But there's a big amount in numbers. Like, they're strong.
Yeah.
Small but strong.
Small but strong, yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Of course.
Good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, man.
Nice meeting you.
Yeah, nice meeting
you. Thanks for coming,
eh? Yeah.
Both Chelsea and I hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we hope you come back next week for our next episode and our last episode from the Kootenays with Trail Beer Refinery. Till next time, cheers! We hope you've enjoyed this episode. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Pacific Beer Chat or at pacificbeerchat.com. If you've enjoyed the episode, you can give us a review on iTunes. It'll help us get some more recognition. You can also find us on Google Play Music, Stitcher, and YouTube. If you'd like to, you can also give us some feedback at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. Cheers.